All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation, chapter 6. I have a scratchy, itchy throat. I don't have a fever. I'm not sick, but I have a scratchy, itchy throat, and it's just absolutely driving me nuts. Speaking of being driven nuts, is that what you're talking about? And so anyway, I'm going to try to use the water up here a little bit more than normal, maybe, and we'll see what happens. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. And last week we kind of got started on the seven sealed judgments. They are the first of three. There are the sealed judgments, then there's the trumpet judgments, and then there's the vial judgments, bowls. A vial is a bowl. And so in the sealed judgments in chapter 6, we see the world is ruined by men. It is ruined by men. And then under the trumpet judgments in chapter 8 through chapter 10, we're going to read about the world ruled by Satan. So the first one, chapter 6, ruined by men. But the trumpet judgments, ruled by Satan. And then the vial judgments are poured out. And that's in chapter 15 and 16. And what we're going to see there is the world rescued by God. So ruined by man, ruled by Satan, and then rescued by God. And there will be 21 judgments that will be unleashed upon the world, upon this earth, and upon mankind. And it's going to take place over the entire seven-year period of the tribulation. And so when all is said and done, this is going to be an entirely different world than what it is today. All right? And you'll see that as we go through each of these judgments. All right? Now, let's look, please, at verse 1. And the Bible says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." In other words, a set of scales. All right? A set of scales to weigh grain. And then in verse 6, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the 4th seal, I heard the voice of the 4th beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, notice that's capitalized, and Hell, capitalized, following with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Let's see, we're probably not going to get any further than that. We might not even get that. But let's stop right there, and we will pray and then continue on looking at these 7 seal judgments. All right, let's pray together first. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we open the eternal word of the living God. And Father, I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. I pray that you will give us clear minds and help us to see things tonight from these verses that will give us understanding of a little bit of understanding of what's coming. And Father, it's so sad that we can look around our world today, and one would almost think that that the rapture could happen in a moment, and just before we finish praying here, and that all this could just continue on, that we are basically living these things now, and they are, the signs are so prevalent, and they are so clear. And the Lord Jesus told us that when we see all these things come to pass, that we should lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And so, Father, give us, I pray, that sense of urgency, and help us to realize that indeed the day of the Lord is at hand. So bless us now, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. All right, we started looking last week at these judgments, and we talked about, just got started on the first one, upon the seal number 1 and the white horse. And John was told to come and see. And so when he looked, he saw a white horse, and he saw a rider on this horse. Now, the question that we asked last week is, who is the rider on this horse? Most conservative theologians and commentarists, they identify this rider as the Antichrist, as the beast. It is the rise of the Antichrist. In the scriptures, a horse is always used for a symbol of warfare. It's a symbol of warfare. And then you'll notice in verse 2 that the Bible says that he had a bow, and he had a crown that was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. All right, now the thing I want to point out to you is this. The man had a bow, but there were no arrows. All right, he had no arrows. Now why? Well, if you'll read down, it says that a crown was given unto him. This being on this white horse is going to have a crown, and it is assumed that he is accepted and approved by men. You'll notice that the crown was given to him. He didn't earn it. He did not deserve it. He just he came on the scene and he was approved by men. He was accepted and crowned as their leader, if you will. And then you'll notice in verse 2, it says that he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I did a little checking on this little phrase today. And the idea with this is that this rider on the white horse is going forth conquering by persuasion, conquering and to conquer. All right. Remember, he has no arrows in his bow. He is accepted by men. They have given their approval to him. And the idea of this word conquering and to conquer has the idea that this man will go around the world conquering by persuasion. He will woo people to his side, woo people to his cause. He is not going to necessarily be going out with an army and actually conquering nations. No, he will conquer by persuasion. And folks, that really, when you think about it, is truly what the Apostle Paul told us that the Antichrist will do. The Antichrist will do just that. Paul said that the Antichrist will use lies, and he will use signs and miracles, wonders, to deceive mankind. And also notice that that this persuasion that he does is in my opinion, I think it's through his miracles and through his charisma. And I think as time marches on in the tribulation period, that is only going to increase. And as more people are affected by the tribulation period, he is going to have to use all the powers that he will be given by the master deceiver himself, the devil. And I think very clearly that this is the Antichrist who is gradually rising up to power. All right. Now we have this idea that the Antichrist is going to burst on the scene, and then there's, you know, he's just going to start killing people that don't take the mark of the beast and all that stuff. No. Remember, you got a 7-year long tribulation period. And as time goes on, then all this stuff will eventually unfold. But for the first 3.5 years, that Antichrist is going to slowly and gradually rise in authority. He will persuade men that he is the Messiah. He's going to tell the world that he is the Messiah. And the world is going to swallow his lie, and they're going to believe that he is indeed the Messiah. And you might remember the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25 warned in what is called the Olivet Discourse, the sermon that he preached on the Mount of Olives just before he was crucified. And you might remember that the Lord said that there's going to be a lot of folks who will come and claim to be the Messiah. But he said, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't you fall for that. And of course, the world will fall for his lies. Now, let me offer you something else to just consider and think about. If you'll look at verse 8, you will see that the Holy Spirit identifies the fourth horseman, and he calls him death and hell. Death and hell. And in this, we have what is called a personification. For example, you know, Ray will walk in the room and somebody will say, well, here comes trouble. All right. You know, that's a personification. All right. Now, don't look at me like that. Millions of people have said that to you. And do what? Yeah. And so that's a personification. All right. And so in verse 8, that's what we see. We see that the Holy Spirit identifies the pale horse and the one that sat on it, and his name was Death and Hell. And I believe this rider is the personification of all the deceit and of all the ideology and of all the anti-Bible and anti-God and anti-Christian philosophy that has been and is and will be used to prepare mankind for the rise of the beast in chapter 13 of Revelation. All right, now hold your place here and go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. 2 Thessalonians. And look, please, at chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's see what Paul has to say about this this Antichrist that is going to rise up, this one who is personified as death and hell. All right, look please, at verse 3. It says, well, let's go back to verse 1. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, that gathering together is a reference to the rapture, all right? So he says, we beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's when the church is going to be gathered to the Lord. Verse 2, Paul said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. All right, so evidently somebody had written a letter and it circulated through the church at Thessalonica. And I don't know this for sure, but evidently somebody signed that letter with Paul's name. And Paul said, don't you be shaken by a letter that has my name on it. I didn't send it, all right? It did not come from me. He said, the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, that means future tense, right? The day of the Lord is at hand. It's yet to come. You with me? All right? So what they did in this letter was they said that the Lord had already come and that the church at Thessalonica had missed the gathering. They had missed the rapture. And Paul said to them in verse 2, no, 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 Don't be deceived. Don't be messed up here. I did not sign that letter. That did not come from me. So, folks, you can see all the way back in the first century, you got deception going on. The devil knows what he's doing. All right. He knows exactly what he's doing. All right. So look at verse 3 now. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. A falling away first. And that falling away is, I think, what we're seeing today. I think we are seeing the falling away in our lifetime. And he said, first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So you're going to have the falling away first, and then you're going to see the rapture of the church, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. And he and Paul said he was the son of perdition, the son of death, of hell. All right. Verse 4, look at it. Who opposeth, now he's talking about the Antichrist here. And he said, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, that's real wordy, but basically what it is saying is, it is telling us that this Antichrist is going to deceive the world into thinking that he is the Messiah, that he's Jesus. All right. He is sent from the Father. Now, he is sent from the Father, but it's not God the Father. It's his father, the devil. All right. So, but he's going to oppose, and he is going to exalt himself above God and show himself that he is God. Now, look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Well, I'm sure some of them remembered it, but some of them didn't. They forgot. Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So what is holding back? What is holding back the Antichrist from taking over? The Spirit and the church. That the church has the Spirit living within us. And so when the rapture happens, then the church goes to be with the Lord. And when we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. All right? And so there will be nothing that is holding back the devil from doing his evil work. And so that's what that verse is saying to us. And now you know what withholdeth or holds back, what is holding back that the devil, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. And that's the church. That's us with the Holy Spirit living within us. All right. So when we go, Holy Spirit goes, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. All right, so look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, you know what that is? All right, look at me. Look at me. You know what that is? That's liberalism. Amen. The mystery of iniquity. That's exactly what it is. It's wokeism. That's exactly what it is. It's all this garbage that is being taught in our schools and in our colleges. All right. So The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is that spirit of Antichrist. It is the spirit of Antichrist. All right, you talk about a football team and they have team spirit. Pete when I came in, and he had on a blue coat with yellow fringe. Now, it's for some high school around here, South Carroll or somebody, but when I looked at him, I said, you got West Virginia colors on, all right? So blue and gold, those are West Virginia's colors. And I said, you're supporting the Mountaineers, and like that. And so if you go over to a basketball game or to a football game, you'll see vendors out there with racks and racks and racks of sweatshirts and T-shirts and flags and everything else West Virginia. It's just all West Virginia stuff. If you go up to Penn State, you'll see the same thing with Penn State. Doesn't matter what school you go to, they have a team spirit, and they want you to come into the stadium with that spirit so that you will motivate the team to play their best. All right? And so this is what the mystery of iniquity, this spirit of the Antichrist, is doing right now. And this has been going on, folks. It's been going on since forever. I mean, for as long as I can remember, it's been going on. And you've got this multiculturalism. You've got this. Let's all be one mindset. They want everybody to just be one. But then all they do is harp about racism. It doesn't make a bit of sense if you think about it. But they just—it's just this spirit where they're trying to just drive the mindset of liberalism into the heart and mind of America. All right, it's nonstop. It just never stops. I was turned on the Weather Channel Monday morning, and as soon as it came on, I wanted to see what the weather was going to be for the day. And so I was watching it, and that Jim Cantore guy goes, well, now we're going to go over to Sweden. And what are you going to Sweden for? I want the forecast in Carroll County. What are you going to Sweden for? And that's exactly what I said. What are you going to Sweden for? They went to Sweden because they're having a climate meeting over there. Climate change meeting. All the world leaders, quote unquote. All the world morons is what it is. And all getting together and figuring out ways to spend our money to stop what doesn't exist. All right? That's what they're doing. And so anyway, they just drive that stuff. It never stops. I don't know if it bothers you, but every time I see them trying to push their agenda, and I can spot it 10 miles away, I just chafe on the inside. And so I just said, well, I'm not going to watch the Weather Channel, so I changed the channel. And so about 30 minutes later, I turned it back, and the little gal said, well, let's go over to what's it called? Expo something, to Sweden. And I said, yep, change it again. And so I changed it back. And I'm hoping that if I change it enough, somebody is going to look at where I changed it, and they're going to say, you know, we probably ought to quit reporting on this goofy stuff. Nobody wants to listen to that. But they never learn. Somebody asked Nancy Pelosi today if she learned anything from the election, and no. No. Well, is this going to change your agenda? No. No. They're just stuck on stupid. That's what the problem is. All right, reading on. I don't know how I got off on all that. It doesn't take much, though. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already working, folks. That's the point. And so the Holy Spirit is now, he says, he uses the word letteth. All right? The Holy Spirit now letteth on he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. All right? So the Holy Spirit in us. And when that rapture happens, we go up, he goes with us. And then, notice the timing here. And then shall that wicked be revealed. The wicked one, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, look here. I've given you that little 5R outline. Rapture, that's the next thing to happen. Then ruin, 7 years of tribulation. Then return, the actual second coming of Christ. And that's what is being referred to here in verse 8. All right? He is talking about that when the Lord comes back, when he comes in the clouds at the second coming, then that is when the Antichrist, the wicked one, is going to be consumed by the Lord. And we'll read all about that in Revelation 20 when we get there. All right, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan, yes. With all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received not. This is why they will perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All right? So all of us get raptured out. Okay? But then there's going to be a lot of people left behind. All the unsaved are going to be left behind. Now that's going to be... That's going to be a whole lot more people left behind than what's taken out. And so what does Paul say? He says that these folks are going to have to deal with this beast, this Antichrist, this wicked one who is going to do his thing with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. In other words, he's just going to deceive the world. They're going to think he is telling the truth, that he is the Messiah. They're going to believe him. They're going to follow him. They're going to worship him. And they're going to perish ultimately because they rejected Christ now, before the rapture happened. They had an opportunity to be saved, and they did not take it, and they were left behind. And they're going to stay left behind. All right, they're not going to trust the Lord. They're going to fall for the lie. Verse 11, and for this cause, what cause? Well, because they received not the truth. All right, do you see that? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. God, verse 11, shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That's Satan's lie. All right. And that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. That's a pretty accurate, a pretty defining description, don't you think? I mean, it just lays it all out there for you. And something or someone is going to have to prepare men's minds for the Antichrist, for the devil's gospel. And the ultimate reception of the strong delusion of that great lie. And so I think this one riding the white horse is going to take a 3.5 year time period to accomplish that, and that he will also in verse 8, power was given unto him to kill, and with the sword, and with hunger, and with death. You see, folks, when these sealed judgments, when it's like a scroll, if you will, all right? And you take a scroll and you open it up, and then you start reading it, all right? So you get to the end of it. Well, this one, then, it will have a seal, and you break that seal, and it will open up another one, another scroll, all right, with that judgment on it. And so here's what people think. They think, okay, well, the sealed judgments, and then it's boom, 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 and they're done. No. No, no, no. No. It's opened, and the Antichrist rides out. And he keeps riding. And then the next thing that happens is power was given to him to take peace from the earth, and men are going to kill one another. All right. Not that they're not doing that now. They are. But can you imagine when we're gone and when the Holy Spirit is gone? I mean, as bad as it is now with the Holy Spirit here, as bad as it is now with the church still here, just imagine what it's going to be like when the trumpet sounds, we're gone, and the Holy Spirit is gone. And this second horse comes out, and power is given. Look at verse 4. Power is given to take peace from the earth. And then the next one, in verse 6, you've got a famine coming. And then in verse 8, what follows famine? Death. So here's death and hell. And so what's going to happen is they're going to open, and then they're going to open, and then they're going to open, and they'll continue right on through 7 years. They just keep bringing their judgment. And then after all the seals are opened up, well then you've got the trumpets, and the trumpet judgments are announced. And they just keep coming. So you boom, 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 and then, man, here comes the trumpet judgments, and then here comes the bowl judgments. And by the time you get to the end of that 7-year period, all 21 of these judgments has just absolutely devastated this entire world. I mean, nobody will recognize it. Nobody will recognize it. It's just absolutely going to be take the world and just turn it upside down. What a terrible, terrible time that's going to be. You know, we'll be reading over here about about the tribulation period, and we're going to see things about how bad it's going to be. Look at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6 down at the end of the chapter let's start at verse 13. This is just the first series of judgments. All right, look at it. Verse 13, he said, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, watch this now. This is just after the first sealed judgments. All right? Look at it. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, I'll tell you who. Nobody. Now, folks, that's just after the first six. You still got 14 more to go. All right? I mean, this is the Lord Jesus came the first time as the Lamb, meek and lowly, but he's going to come the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so this judgment is just a precursor to the judgment that is going to be in his hand when he comes back at his return. And so during that 7-year period, all this just continues to unfold. What you get is disaster. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. All right. Well, we got time for one more. All right. Look, please, if you will, now at chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. All right, now, after reading these two verses, you might think you're living in the tribulation period right now. All right, but you're not. So don't panic, all right? But notice this one is a red horse. Now, what is this one going to do? Well, there are different opinions about this as to what this is going to be. There are a lot of folks that think that this is what is described in Ezekiel 38, where Ezekiel talked about Gog and Magog coming down to fight against Israel, and that the Lord is going to put hooks in their mouths and pull them back. All right, let's go over there real quick to the book of Ezekiel 38. All right, in verse 1 it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, all these places, I know you've heard all your life that all these places are Russia, and they're not. They're Turkey, all right? They're Turkey. These, the land of Gog, that's Turkey, all right? The land of Magog, I mean, that's Turkey, all right? Gog is just a play on the name of God. And set thy face against the Antichrist, against the devil. All right, Gog, the land of Magog. Now we have here in Maryland, and I think every other state has it too. But we have our states divided up into counties. All right, down in West Virginia, they have Charleston. Of course, is the capital. And there are 55 counties in West Virginia, and each county has what they call the county seat, all right? And that is the place of the local government, the county seat. And normally it's the biggest town in that county that is the county seat, and they have the county government there. And all that stuff. All right. Now, if you look at any of the old Oxford maps, you may have an old Scofield Bible at home. And if you do, go home. If it's an old Scofield, depending on how old it is, you may have in the maps section of your Bible, you may have a map in there, and you will look at the country of Turkey, what is Turkey today, and it's a huge country, huge. And you'll see these little dividing lines, and you'll see Magog, and you'll see a region that is called Meshech, and a region that is called Tubal. All right, these are regions in Turkey. And then go on in verse 3, it says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, that's Gomer is a region in central Turkey. And in the house of Togarma, that's in eastern Turkey, and also of all his bands and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. All right, now I want you to look at one other verse. Where did I write that down? Verse 13, I think. Yes, there it is. It says in verse 13, Sheba and Dedan. That's Sheba is Yemen today. All right, Sheba is Yemen today. Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish. Tarshish is Turkey, but the Dedan, that's Saudi Arabia, all right? With all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Doesn't that sound like the Democrats to you? You know, I mean, they attack the country, and, you know, one of our fearless leaders would pick up the phone and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Are you coming to get a spoil? Are you coming to take their stuff? Now, you shouldn't do that. We're going to put sanctions on you. You know, we're going to put sanctions on you, and we're going to starve your people to death. Yeah, that's going to hurt them. They don't care about their people. That's so ridiculous. I like the Trump doctrine. You do that, and I'm going to blow you up. All right? That works. Yep. That works. My stepmother, she's in heaven now. She's the first one. Her daughter had a terrible mouth on her. And she would just blow up and curse. Now, I never did hear it, but she would just curse her mother. Oh, it was awful. And I said, Dad, how'd you stand that? And he said, well, I just walked out of the house. He said, I just left. And I thought, wow. So he came in after it was over and she said, I just wish you wouldn't do that. And Dad said, well, I can tell you how to stop her. And she said, well, how's that? He said, next time she does it, you just slap her upside of the face. And said, well, what if she won't stop then? Dad said, she'll stop when her face starts hurting. But that, we don't do that. We don't, no, we can't be like that. Political correctness. I think my Bible said, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. All right, so anyway, they're going to say, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Well, now, a lot of people say that Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4 is this. I personally don't think it is. All right? I don't think it is. And I know you've been taught that all your life, but I personally don't think that it is. I think that this is describing the battle of Armageddon and all the nations that will come against the Lord when he comes back at the return to fight the battle of Armageddon. And there's quite a list of nations that are going to be lined up here. And this is not the only place that these nations are mentioned as being at that battle. So I personally think that is what is going on here in Ezekiel 38. And so you're going to have to wait till next Wednesday night for me to tell you what I think the red horse is all about. All right? Sorry about that, but we ran out of time. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. What a wonderful book this is. And we stand, as did the psalmist, in awe of your Word. And I just pray that you will bless this to our hearts and give us understanding of what we have heard. And Father, help us to realize that the plan is already in place. Nothing can stop it. And this is your word, and it's going to happen just as it is written. And there's nothing that anyone can do to stop it. So, Father, I pray that you will bless your word and use it in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.